Yeah, and then I've got my own podcast called Unlearn as well, which Unlearn, is,
yeah.
You know, I generally interview Fortune 500 execs or startup founders.
You're close to doing your 100th episode?
Yeah, I'm doing my 100th episode. Congratulations. Thank you very much. Yeah, now it's 5 years in the making. I do a show every 2 weeks, but wow, it's, as you know, I feel like it's the best personal development investment I've ever made. I just learned so much from
most of your episodes in Unlearn are about what?
Typically, people are, well, the idea is, what have you had to unlearn in your own career? So even for yourself, you know, if I asked you, what's something you had to unlearn that had a really big impact on your success? Well, what comes into your mind when I ask you?
Usually
that?
It's bad habits.
Right.
Like my sleeping habits, I would say.
Good. Right. That's a great example. Mm-hmm. Right. So again, like a lot of these lessons we learn in life, we think, oh, yeah, you know, I'm young. I can have 5 hours sleep and I'll be fine. Then you read and you're like, yeah, God, if I don't get 7 hours sleep, I'm aging faster.
Right.
Right. So all these small things that are like lessons we learn along the way. A lot for entrepreneurs, you know, the archetypes that people tell entrepreneurs, you know, you got to work 50 hour weeks or, you know, you start meeting people who've done it differently and who believe the way that what would bring them success, actually they had to let go of some of those ideas to succeed. And that's what the show is about. And yeah, we've had some just amazing people on it over the years who are, you know, really successful entrepreneurs and business leaders. And for me, I just learn so much every time I get to speak to these people.
I know,
people.
Every time, like I have a different guest from every field, it's like, well, my mind just explodes with all the things that I've learned from these people. So tell me about like a significant guest that you've had on top of your head.
Well, one of the shows people really enjoy is every 6 months I have something called a personal board of directors.
Okay.
Where I sit
personal board of directors.
Yeah. So this
I have mine too.
All right. So I use it as a way to hold myself accountable and keep trying to improve. So there's a number of people on it, but every 6 months I do it a specific live stream with two people. One is called Gibson Biddle. He's the chief product officer of Netflix. So I was in Netflix when they were transitioning from CDs to the first versions of going on the web.
That will never work.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, right. So that's actually like the co-founder who, so Gib basically reported into him. And then the other is a lady called Melissa Perry, who's like a multiple best-selling author in product management. So the three of us sit down and basically have a conversation like this and talk about what did we learn over the last 6 months, how's our life going, and people just sort of love that show, and I get a huge amount out of it. And it was actually Gibbs' idea to say, you know, why is only the three of us talking? Why don't we just open it up to the world and be transparent? And it's one of my favorite shows to do every 6 months, and yeah, people always enjoy that one.
So you've done all these episodes, you're going to 100 episode. What do you think is something that you want to do moving forward with that type of show?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that's always been fascinating to me is that, like, even in my own journey, so many things I've had to unlearn along the way all, like, really strike me. And it's one of these provocative questions when I ask anyone, double take, you know, because so many people talk about learning. We have to learn.
Yeah.
Not enough people talk about what they need to unlearn, what they need to let go of, the bad habits, the bad mental models, the limiting beliefs. And I actually find when you ask people that question, it really focuses them in, because you ask them, what do you want to learn? Oh, more about marketing. I want to learn more about this, more. But nobody talks about the stuff they needed to get rid of.
Right.
It's like a cup. If you just keep pouring water into a cup, it's overflowing. Right? But if you can empty a piece and then make space for actual information to come in, that's head what space. I have found as being some of the most exciting things for me. So it's, I just enjoy doing it, and I'll keep doing it, I think, for a long time.
It's like when you're, the moment you learn like a bad habit, right? It takes some time. Like when someone starts... When someone starts like to, let's say, smoke a cigarette, the first time it's gonna be bad, right? It's horrible, right? And then you go to your 5th, your 20th, your 50th cigarette, it's like, oh, this is good. Same like when I was a kid. Remember when I drank my first beer, I think I was 7 years old. My father gave me a San Miguel beer.
You sure you're not Irish?
It's like, ugh. It's like, ugh, you guys drink this? This is horrible. And you enjoy this? I remember that conversation I had with my uncles and my dad. But, you know, you grew up and then you start drinking with your friends. So it's a bad habit that you learn, that you start drinking, right? It, I mean, we all know it's not really the benefits of drinking. It's super low compared to like the risk. Same with smoking, right? So when you learn like a good habit, you also can unlearn bad habits. Do you agree, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, like a lot of
because you learn how to smoke, you learn how to drink, you learn all these vices and stuff. You learn like how to sleep 3 hours and wake up the next day and feel energetic when you're 20. But when you hit like 40s, you're not like I go out and I say, okay, if my friends take me out and say, okay, what time are you going home? Because I need to know that I'm in bed by 11. it's not like, okay, how late are we going out? Like, are we going out like 5 in the morning or 6 or something like that? No, it's not that anymore. I need to know that I'll be in bed 11, okay? Just to be sure with you guys.
Right, but and there are all these like little things. Like, think about the first time you did a podcast to what you're doing like today.
It sucked.
Right? But like but there's things that you've learned, right? There's bits you've added to it, stuff you've taken away from it.
Yeah.
Right, and like these is sort of that's the unlearning for me, is like maybe on the first show. I remember my first show. I was like, oh, I've gotta be like sound very professional.
Right.
I have to like almost pretend I'm a journalist, and I was trying to be somebody I wasn't.
You wasn't, yeah.
Right, and then as you do more shows, you're like, actually,
yeah,
I just need to be me.
Yeah.
And if that's okay, absolutely. Right?
Absolutely.
So that was a great thing to unlearn, right? And where I didn't have to be like a BBC news presenter or something like this. You know, I just needed to be me. And that's the best show.
Yeah.
So I think like there are all these like little examples in life that we just learn. And that means unlearning some things.
Yeah. I've had a recent guest in our podcast. Remember King Panda, right? So Hans was our guest, and he's a bodybuilder and a businessman at the same time. And I remember one thing. I always said that, you know, getting fit is like 70% nutrition and 30% like working out. And he said, brother, there's no mathematics on like 70%, 30%. It's you go 100% on your health and you go 100% when you work out. There's no 70%, 30 or 60, there's no math to it. You go 100%, it's either you do it or you don't, right? And stop being a bitch about it. I said, you're right. There's no math when it comes to being healthy. It's like you do it or you don't, right? And then he also said, like, you know, rice is not like your enemy, it's a friend. It's only an enemy when you consume too much of it. So, and I had to unlearn that fact. Like, I always hated eating rice because I said, like, I get a bigger gut and what have you when I eat
so
much
rice.
Five cups a day. And he said, you just have to regulate it and spend that energy, because that's energy that you spend, that you use for your workouts. That's why you're short on your workouts, because you're not using enough carbohydrates inside your body. So those are things that I had to relearn and unlearn as well, because when he mentioned the 70-30, no, I mentioned the 70-30, and I said, that's something I follow. And he said, no, it's 100-100. When I started doing that, I felt like, okay, I'm more relaxed and more. So it's something that I learned that I feel that, you know, I'll be using moving forward, because I've been working out like for 2 decades already. I started lifting weights like when I was 19. I'm 41 now.
Yep.
I've been working out since I was 19. There's so many myths about bodybuilding and working out and nutrition that I've debunked myself. And I know that's fake, that's real. There's no magic pill and stuff like those. So all these things you learn from people and experience as well that you get from them. And especially when you talk to someone who's been there, who's been at the very apex of, you know, of being the top of their game. Like, I interviewed Professor Alvin Aguilar, who's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And, you know, I've learned so much from him when it comes to, you know, being patient when it comes to playing the art of Jiu-Jitsu. So, you know, those are things you learn from the best of the best, right? But also, I could learn that also from other people who have experience, right? All these things.
Absolutely.
When I started my podcast, I started watching podcasts of other people, and I said, oh my God, they're so good. they're like, it's like they studied like in a podcast university or something. And when I found out, they just started from their bedroom because they were just bored or something, you know, and they were just themselves. I remember the first video, if you know this guy, MKBHD, right? He's one of my favorite tech bloggers in the world. He started one of his first vlogs as a 13-year-old or 14-year-old was a Dell laptop that he bought. And, you know, the lighting and everything was bad. And now he's probably the very top, right? Like him in Unbox Therapy, perhaps, on the top. So everyone's going to suck. Some people feel that, you know, when they start something, you have to be great. Or they make excuses like, oh, I need better lighting. I need a better camera so I can start. In fact, they're just making excuses for themselves to start, right?
Yeah, it's so true. You know, like the power of compound interest is one of the greatest powers on the planet. So if you can compound your learning or your knowledge by adding a little bit, taking some things away that are holding you back, that's actually where the real growth is.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm a huge proponent in just being intentional about these things, like having the direction you're going for. I want to improve at podcasting, writing, blogging, whatever it is for you, health, wellness, fitness. You know, and like hold yourself accountable, like set a couple of goals, try some experiments, figure out what works for you.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the healthcare, right? Precision medicine is the future. You know, another thing to debunk with healthcare is it's typically was designed primarily for men. That's actually what it was designed for. It doesn't necessarily count as much for women, the whole industry. So it was designed for men.
For men, yeah.
We're moving to a world now where you can wear a device. Now, we might have our watches on, but other people are wearing like bio-tracking devices.
They get
their biometrics. They might even get blood work done every couple of weeks.
Right.
So they're getting real metrics about how their body's performing, making choices about what they eat, tweaks, optimizations so they get better. Right, the same as well when you're starting your show.
Yeah.
Looking at the metrics. Where do people keep watching? What bits is the most popular?
Right.
You know, how long should a show be?
Right.
Right, like this is art and science coming together, you know, and I think if you get into that mindset about improvement, you know, the sky's the limit.
Right, like our goal as humans, I believe, is to be the best versions of ourselves as we age and grow on. Right, like you start to crawl, start to walk, right? When you're walking, like you run fast and then you fall and you get back up and you do it again. So our goal is really, and it should be a non-negotiable, that we're trying to be the best versions of who we are, not worse. Like, you know, you should be comparing yourself to your past version, like compare yourself for 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And the problems that you have like 10 years ago probably or something you laugh off now, huh?
Yeah, right. And you know, you also made a really nice point earlier though about people sometimes expectations, they want to compare themselves to like the very best
right
on day one and say, oh, I can't be as good as them, so I won't try.
Yeah,
you know, and for me that's like the saddest philosophy or mindset to have, right? Like there's nothing I ever started that I was fantastic at in the beginning. But the idea of starting and working your way through that uncomfortableness, like finding out about yourself, about what your potential is, where you can take it, you know, that's the journey.
Right.
And if you find something you really love and you're willing to work at it.
Absolutely.
You know, and understand it might take time.
Yeah.
You know, you could have a show like yours and a couple of million followers and having lots of fun.
I never could have imagined it anyway. When I started, I didn't imagine just thinking about, you know, a lot of followers. It's just sharing what I actually learned. Because when I started reading books, I said, how can I learn what I read? Because when I read it, I know I'm going to forget about this. So I said, what if whatever I read, I start to write about it in blogs and or on my Facebook or on my Twitter, and then I could look back at all my posts and see, okay, I learned it from this book and from watching this show and that. So I think learning requires you to actually share it at the same time, right?
I'm a huge believer in that. Yeah,
I'm almost camera shy. Truth be told, I'm what they call a selective extrovert.
Yeah.
I'm really an introvert. Like, I would be scared to step on stage in front of a huge crowd. But now, if it's something that I know and I can talk about for like the next 30 minutes to an hour, I can stand in front of a crowd and not worry about it. Like, what I'm going to say. And no. But if it's something I don't know and I'm asked to talk about it, I'll say pass. Because I don't want to be not me. Like, if someone asked me to go on stage and they pay me $1 million to talk about finance, I'll say, talk to my wife. She knows more about finance than me. I know how to make money, but I don't know how to do something about that regardless. So if it's not something that I'm good at, I'd rather not talk about it. So it's because it's not me. It's not who you are. Like me, I'm into basketball. If you ask me and you start talking about, let's say, MLB, baseball or football, it's like, okay, I'll be interested in it, but it's not something that I know. So if we talk about it for an hour, I might be lost, like, in translation at the same time with regard to it. So, but if there's no intention for me to actually learn about it, then you won't really learn, right? That's why I always say, when you want to read books that you like. Don't read books that people say that they like, because their interest might not be the same as your interest, right? Because we have a lot of things that we are unique with each other, right? Yeah. We have similarities to other people when it comes to interest, right? Interested about learning about stocks, for example. But then at the same time, it's different kinds of stocks or investments, right? So find something that you like. I always tell, like, when people, don't go into trends, right? Something that you like or you're interested in, because you're going to invest your time in it. Right?
Right. Your most valuable commodity.
It's the most valuable commodity. Like, I don't care how wealthy you are. If your time is spent doing things for other people aside from yourself and growing yourself first, then what's the use?
Yeah, and the point that really resonated with me was this idea of, like, writing and sharing what you learn.
Yeah.
Is actually part of the process. You know, there's a famous saying of, like, you see something, you do something, you teach something.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's a huge part of it. You know, for me as well, I just started, like, I'm dyslexic. So I was literally, people would say to me, oh, you should write up what you're doing so people can understand it. And I had a solid history of, like, yeah, D minuses in English literature. So I was, like, sort of scared, you know, like, and who would listen and why?
Yeah.
But one of the biggest breakthroughs for me is I actually found, when I wrote my second book, I didn't write a word. I sat down with a journalist and I got them to interview me. And we would sit there and talk about the chapters, mm-hmm, and record it and instantly transcribe it on an AI transcription service. And then the journalist would take the transcript and edit it down, wow, a little bit and send it to me. And then I would sort of go, oh, I forgot that. Yeah. And so we'd iterate really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I wrote on Learn, the book. I barely typed any of the words. I talked it all. And you know, and now it's international, okay, bestseller, and that's what got
me
there.
Wait. You've written two books already.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know about that. So what was your first book about?
Lean Enterprise. So it was part of Eric Ries. The Lean Startup was a huge sort of book in the,
okay,
startup community, written by Eric Ries. But a lot of people who weren't in startups were like, well, I'm not a startup. How do I do this? So me and two of my colleagues, Jez Humble and Joanne Molesky, wrote that book. It was part of Eric's series, and that just exploded. And
Lean Startup.
Yeah. So
it's there.
It's up, yeah. So, like, Eric's been on my show. He's a good friend. We used to live, like, two streets away from each other in San Francisco.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but I was just part of that community in the earliest days. It was a great community. The Lean series is, there was a book on analytics. Mine and Jez and Joanne's was on, like, entrepreneurship, mm-hmm, and Ash Marora. There's just a great set of people in that series. So that was the first one I wrote, and it just went crazy.
When was this published?
Oh, God. It's like 2016, probably.
It's not too far away.
Yeah, no, is it? Maybe it was
You were going to say 2003.
No. So Lean Startup was, like, probably came out 2011, I think.
Okay.
Or 2013, I can't remember. And then, yeah, we were probably 2 or 3 years after that. Mm. And yeah, and that, wait, that's been super fun.
This is the first time
fun.
We talked to someone who wrote a book, huh?
Oh, really?
Right, this is the first time, right.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Most are readers or experts in their fields. right?
Well, I'm extremely honored to be the first author you've had on here. Thank I am a struggling author. it's again, but that's what resonated so much about what you were saying, this idea of all I was writing about is what I had learned.
Yeah.
The successes, yeah. The failures.
It's a combination of, you know, all these things that you learn from this one, this
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
It's like you're cherry picking.
Yeah.
Because like all books have your takeaways. All the videos that you watch have these takeaways, right? All the people you talk to have a certain takeaway. And you put that and you learn that, that becomes a combination of who you are.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and like that's the sort of special part of it all, you know, and again, what was amazing about that is it brought a whole new group of people. People who read the same things as me, that were interested in the things I were, that had different ideas but wanted to debate them.
Right.
So, like, it's a very special thing when you put content out into the world. Amazing things come back. And, like I said, I became really good friends with a lot of these other people like Eric Ries and all around the world. And that could never have happened if I didn't start writing this blog. Even though it was really hard for me, that I had to get four people to spell check it. And I was really embarrassed about even publishing anything.
That's fine.
Yeah, but you get there, you know. You just have to start. And that's another unlearning for me. It was a starting, was the first step.
Getting through that fear, right?
It's real.
The fear, getting through that fear. What goes beyond it? Like, what goes, okay, if I do this, if I let it out, this article out, okay, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
What are you going to think?
Yeah, right. And it's there's so many good points here. It's like, one, it's an act of vulnerability, right? Like, you're putting yourself into the world and you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
And for many people, that is a very uncomfortable feeling. And oddly enough, what I have learned over my time now is if I'm not actively putting myself in uncomfortable situations, mm-hmm. I start getting nervous because I'm just sticking to doing the same old stuff, doing the same old things. I'm not growing. So in an odd way, now if I don't have like one or two things that are sort of outside my comfort zone, mm-hmm. I start getting a little bit like, ooh, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
You know, and because if you learn it, you learn how to face fear.
Yeah.
Fear never goes away. But you learn how to face it and how to take smaller bets and start to like work your way through it.
It's like you're gaining some muscles in places that you never thought you'd had muscles.
Yeah.
It's like muscle memory.
Absolutely.
It's like when I train basketball, it's like I do the same shot over and over again. It becomes, I know the muscles don't have memory, but in your brain, you know how strong your shot will be when you do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
So that's why the saying of, if I remember correctly, like with Bruce Lee, he's scared with the person who does the same kick 1,000 times rather than this person that does 1,000 different kicks.
Yeah. It's so true, you know. You know, as a basketball fan yourself, and I'm a Golden State Warrior fan.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the most funniest things is that even if you watch like the masterclass that Steph Curry did.
I watched that.
Right. All he talks about is doing 100 shots from one point, 100 shots from the next point, 100 from the next point. That's his warm-up routine before he even goes out and takes a shot, right?
Yeah.
And
before you could shoot from the farthest, you have to go to the nearest, the easiest one. Why do you start? Because when I was a kid, remember, I wanted to shoot from three right away. So as a, remember, like a 9-year-old, I would use the big ball and like throw it like a frisbee to the rink. When in fact, I should be just trying to shoot it from the nearest point, which just makes sense. You start with the basics.
Yeah, build momentum.
And that's how great, you know, the great ones do the hardest things, like the easiest way first. Easiest.
That's it, yeah.
And then they do it in repetition.
Yeah, so this is another great book for you. It's called Peak. By Anders Ericsson.
Okay.
And he created this concept of deliberate practice. And the idea is that in order for you to like get better,
mm-hmm.
right, you have to deliberately practice something.
Yeah.
Right? So musical instrument's a good example. Right? As you start to learn an instrument, you learn these like basic chords.
Yes, like the guitars.
Scales, right? Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
But as you keep practicing those, you have to progressively keep on taking more and more difficult tasks to level
up. Complex.
Exactly, right? So like this, that's what deliberate practice is in anything, is that you start to learn and then you make it more difficult because it keeps pushing the threshold of your capabilities. Yeah. Whether that's fitness, whether that's sport, whether that's entrepreneurship, right? Like, that's what it's all about. And, you know, I just really enjoy that type of thinking and experimentation across businesses, my life, you know, everything that I get into. It's part of the process, you know, and I enjoy that as much as the destination.
The process where it should be more enjoyable rather than getting actually where you want to be. Like, one of my goals, actually, I've never said this to people yet, is I want to learn like a third language.
Oh, wow.
And the only way that you could actually is Mandarin. It's one of the toughest types, because it's a good business language.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I go a lot to China and Hong Kong to transact business and some parts of Singapore, is that I need to learn the language so I can do better business with who I'm speaking with. It's not them that adjust. I should be the one to adjust. So one of my goals is by the end of next year, I should be able to be at least conversational. And the way you actually do that is to immerse yourself. Like, English is one of the things that we learn in school here in the Philippines growing up. But I actually learned English first before Tagalog.
Yeah, and I hear that's becoming...
Because my parents talked to me when I was a kid in English.
Yeah.
You know, the education was different back then compared to now, of course. There's a difference. But I learned English first before our native language. Is so weird, right? But it should be the other way around, right? But
well, it's the same in Ireland where I grew up, right? Ireland's obviously colonized by the British.
Yeah.
First thing you do when you colonize a country is kill the culture. So the language was actually outlawed in Ireland for many years. But we study Irish from the ages of 6 to 18. You have to study it to get into university. But Ireland is a small country. Like, we're only 4 million compared to 100 million, obviously, in the Philippines. Uh-huh. But once you go outside Ireland, it's not as utility, right?
Yeah.
But I always think, like, being born into an English-speaking country is sort of, it's a blessing and curse, you know? Because people want to speak English to you wherever you go, right? And I was lucky to learn French, and obviously later in life.
The French language.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a language of love.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good. But like, just like little things like this, though, right? But again, like, Mandarin is such, right? Putting yourself in that uncomfortable situation, having the goal, right? You know, going and living in, you know, well, you're going to have to go hang out in Beijing, basically, to get, or wherever you want to go.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's part of the process, you know? And who wouldn't want to like to speak to 1.3 billion people out there? You may as well say hello to them.
Just segue. My wife loves the Irish accent. That's why she loves Conor McGregor.
Okay.
Whenever he talks.
Well, so we'll say hello to your wife from Conor McGregor. You're doing nothing.
Yeah. That's why she loves watching Peaky Blinders with me.
Oh, great. Yeah, Killian.
Yeah, because of the accent that they have. It's one of my favorite shows
as well.
Probably one of the best series of all time as well.
Yeah, no, we've done well in Ireland. Like, you know, we're really proud of a lot of these actors and athletes that have represented the country really well. And, you know, we're lucky. We'll keep doing it, hopefully.
When was the last time you were in Ireland?
I'm actually heading back now in 2-3 weeks.
Okay.
It's the first time I've been back in 3 years with the pandemic.
Oh, wow. So you were there pre-pandemic, 2019.
I was very lucky, I have a 4 and a 2-year-old. So I got to bring my 4-year-old, who was 2, home just before the pandemic happened. But my parents have never met my 2-year-old, so I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, super fun to talk.
I love it.
Yeah, no, it's always fun to talk about, like,
it's the first time I talked to a book author.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's my pleasure. So, yeah, maybe I'll come back again. We can talk some more. Who knows?
For sure. Yeah. We definitely should. I appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Pleasure.